Morning, everyone. Welcome to the LinkChain podcast. My name is Jack Van Simon, Chief Regulatory Compliance Officer and one of the co-founders of LinkChain. With us today is also Constance Taylor, CEO, founder of LinkChain, and John Doyle, who is Chief Marketing Officer and co-founder. How are you guys? How's everything?
Good.
All is good.
I'm looking forward to getting everybody updated.
Yeah, sure. We've had a lot of, I think, important developments, so this is probably a very good forum to address our audience and our social media and other stakeholders. So I'm really glad we're doing this.
Absolutely. We have had some really exciting developments, some things that we have shared with the community, and then something behind the curtain until now. So very excited to share that with you.
Let's do a quick introduction. Go ahead, John.
John Doyle, Chief Marketing Officer for LinkChain. I started my own digital ad agency, which was born out of a recording studio that I began because I was going to be a rock star. And that started in 1995. And it was in a little town about an hour west of Toronto, Canada. And there was a relatively unknown startup called Research in Motion. And of course, we all know them now as inventors of the BlackBerry. I did some work for them in 1997, and they were thrilled by it and said, basically, we're going to turn on a fire hose and see how much you can drink. So the digital ad agency just exploded from that point on, and I ran it over the next 20 years and grew it to a staff of over 50, and we were eight-figure income by the time I chose an exit strategy from that job, became an independent marketing consultant. And I was just naturally drawn toward crypto and blockchain projects, and that's how I met Constance. I mean, we haven't looked back.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Thanks, John. So Jack Van Simon here, Chief Regulatory Compliance Officer. Unlike John, I never had any prospects of being a rock star. So I took a different route in life. I started out in the capital markets right out of undergrad in regulatory compliance for a number of broker-dealers, asset managers, investment banks, etc. And then a very non-traditional path, I went back to law school later in life and really got very heavily involved in their securities law. Came across this idea of cryptocurrency, digital assets about almost 2 years ago. I wrote an article on LinkedIn really to educate myself because a lot of these articles written by law firms were just horrendous. The average person cannot understand it. So I decided I needed to educate myself, and in the process, educated a number of other individuals. And after that, about 25 clients came my way, digital issuers and digital exchanges. And then I came across and I met Constant, and Constant and I had worked for about a year or so. And when he mentioned LinkChain, I was sold immediately, and that's how I met the team. And it's a really exciting project. Take it away, Constant.
Constant Taylor, founder, CEO of LinkChain. I never played in a band, but I was in a talent show when I was 11 years old in sixth grade. That started and ended my rock star career. I graduated from the University of Michigan with a degree in finance and marketing, started out my career in the accounting area, then moved into finance, financial analyst, senior financial analyst, pricing analyst, and then had an opportunity to do my very first startup in China. It was a $100 million startup, a three-way joint venture between United Technologies, Dongfeng, and Citroen, producing automobiles for the Chinese market. Unlike North America, probably in the UK as well, where we produce vehicles for the mass market to go all over the world, China is very localized. So if you're producing in a city, cars are specifically for that city. So did that for 8 months, assistant finance director, and then moved back to the United States. When I got back to the States, that's when I moved into sales and marketing as an account rep, account sales guy, sales manager, director of sales. And so I touched different areas of business along my growth path. And I decided to strike out on my own when I landed a four-year, $400 million contract with a major OEM, original equipment manufacturer. That was the largest contract that we had ever had. I got into crypto space about 3 years ago when a client of mine asked me to research the crypto space market. And that was my first advisory assignment. Since that time, I've had several advisory assignments. I had, as I tell these guys, I had no desire to do my own startup It was a technical issue that had been bugging me for the last 7 or 8 months, and that was constantly being contacted and bombarded with opportunities or solicitations that I had no interest in. So that sparked the idea, the concept for which has now become LinkChain. Just a little bit about our team members. You see a lot of team members, and you know, these guys work together. We do have a really, really good team. You know, John, our chief marketing officer, is very strong in so many different areas. Just number one, just having a level head, you know, when things kind of, we get excited about things, John is the guy that comes in and say, "Hey guys, you know, it's really not a big deal."
thank you.
SYD. So having that calming, energy along with his strong marketing background has been an incredible, asset to the team. And Jack is, very, very pragmatic, very focused. In addition to, you know, his chief compliance and his legal background, just a very, very strong analytical person with the ability to develop solutions. When we run into roadblocks, that Jack is the guy that comes in, provides concrete possibilities of things that we can do to move beyond where we are.
Thanks, Constant. Awesome. I mean, I think what's unique about our team, you know, in reflecting on the last 7 or 8 months, is we get stuff done very easily. And we execute on our initiatives. We know what our strengths are. We also know what our weaknesses are. And at the end of the day, it's all about execution, pitching in when needed. And we're all dealing with very, you know, tight timelines. And so, you know, I worked in many different groups, and I will say that this group is definitely unique because we have seasoned individuals who've been in the space for a number of years. And also, to your point, Constant, people who have different skill set, multiple skill set. I mean, you know, John's a good example of where it's not just marketing, but really understands, you know, the business implications of certain decisions. We've got Nick, who understands that the strategy part and putting together certain documents. So, you know, these are not people that are learning as we go. They've done this before, and that helps a lot in terms of making things very efficient.
I'll just quickly add to that. It turns out that Jack, Ben, Simon, and I actually live in the same city. By a strange coincidence, the entire team is remote. We're kind of scattered all over the globe. And yet, coincidentally, we have I have two fellow Canadians that work on the team. One is Nancy, one is Jack, and Jack happens to be in Toronto. And I just want to talk about this other core component of the team very briefly. And that is a shared mindset, a shared vision, and a true, genuine love for each other that we've developed over a period of many, many months. And we're going to talk about some of the issues we've had to go through and struggles we've had to go through together. But let me just quickly give you a moment's reflection of a meeting I had with Jack, Ben, Simon. Jack works in a very fancy building in downtown Toronto, probably the most fancy building. It's called First Canadian Place, right in the heart of downtown Toronto, in very swanky offices. And Jack and I, we met up at a restaurant in that same building, just have a couple of beers, just a couple of Canadian guys having a chat about our business and the business in general, the world of cryptocurrencies and blockchain. I knew within minutes that I had met a friend for life. It's just the team has this very cohesive care and understanding about each other. We recently, we've had team members lose family members. We've had team members that have gone through hospitalizations for some. And the entire team genuinely cares about what happens to each one of the team members. So in addition to all of the great points that you guys brought up, the professionalism, the acumen, the experience that this team brings to the table, there's also a real genuine care between team members for each other. And I really respect that about this project.
Yeah, 100% agree. Very, very well said, John.
The other thing that I think is really important in groups is the ability to recognize when we need to pivot. Because that, to me, was sort of an inflection point in the company's financial history when we realized that market conditions were not really working in our favor. The ICO market of 2017 was very robust. 2018 got weaker after the second quarter. And we realized that this financing vehicle, this notion of initial coin offering, really wasn't working to our benefit. But I think more importantly, from a cultural perspective, we actually wanted people invested in our company as shareholders to actually have an equity stake in the asset of LinkChain. And so it made a lot of sense to go from raising capital through an initial coin offering, which would have been essentially a utility token, to this thing called a security token offering, which really is a digitized common share in many respects. So You know, that decision was made, I believe, in November. We had talked about it extensively among the co-founders in the group, and we pivoted. And so it's important within a company, in my experience, to realize when you need to pivot, how you're going to pivot, and how quickly you can pivot, realizing that some decisions need to be reviewed and reflected upon. So that was in November, which came to our security token offering, and then that led to changing some of our documents, and also in some ways changing our investor profile, because the raise of the $5 million right now, we've done the Reg D and Reg S filing with the SEC is really just as recent as a couple of weeks ago. And so that was, I believe, an inflection point in the company's history, which reflects the culture of LinkChain, which reflects the team dynamics in its ability to change very quickly in market conditions that required that shift. So I think that's
awesome.
You know, to your point, John.
There's a couple of things about the market, especially the bear market we're in right now, that I'd like to get back to you and have you speak to a little bit, Jack. But since we're talking about pivot, I just want to quickly ask Constant to maybe make a brief comment to the world at large. This wasn't really a pivot. This was more of an addition or a morph. So Constant, we actually shifted from calling ourselves, you know, sort of a freelancer solution to an IC solution. And really became far more inclusive of a much larger market because of that. Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, sure. If we look at LinkChain, where we are in the future, there's a couple of different evolutions that have already taken place and that are taking place. First of all, depending on who we're talking to, there's independent contractors, there's freelancers, there's the gig economy. All of that really, depending on who you're talking to, they're going to understand what they are. So when we're talking to VCs, some of the VCs did not really wrap their mind around freelancers. So we really decided to use independent contractors as an umbrella to cover all different types of people. And when we look at the IC economy as a whole, the total addressable market is just under $2 trillion right now. And
that's
within the next 5 years.
Trillion with a T, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. Trillion with a T. So there's huge market and huge opportunity out there. A lot of the independent contractors are not fully utilizing the technology space to the best of their ability. One of the things that we're going to do is we're going to allow them to utilize our platform to connect with and have access to people that they would not ordinarily have access to. Yeah, but the second evolution of that is going to be dealing with more complex supply chain management solutions. And that is something that gets businesses and the venture capital people that we talk to very excited to be able to identify and track different supply chain issues.
I was recently on a panel that was speaking to foundations that supported endowments and supported nonprofit groups. And one of the questions we were asked was directly about the market, the amount of dollars that we're talking about, and the effect that this blockchain technology will have throughout the industry. So specifically, the supply chain industry is absolutely enormous. It is going to be a game-changing situation.
Well, one other thing to add, and this is just to expand on a constant point, is independent contractors themselves, is we're dealing with the mobility of labor here internationally. And mm-hmm. The reason why that's important is because, you know, we've thought about this a lot, and there's actually a social conscience piece to what we're doing here, because we're allowing the mobility of labor across borders, where someone in Venezuela, for example, can take on a project for, let's say, $500 US, pay a 5%
right.
fee,
right.
and still be netted a lot more than as if he had offered his or her services locally in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is a significant social benefit to our business, because you're enabling a higher standard of living for people in these less developed countries or emerging countries to avail their services, professional services across borders at generally rates that are higher than if they offered them locally. And that would not be available typically if you don't have a platform like we do, or at least that others do as well.
Absolutely.
But the whole idea of having this on a blockchain adds to the trust factor, lowers the credit risk factor in terms of suppliers and buyers, the rating between buyers and suppliers as well. So all of this is meant to add to the authenticity to the transaction, which, you know, to those folks in these less developed countries those are all important factors. And, you know, $475 net in Venezuela right now, or other countries, goes a long way to feeding your family for a month.
Yeah. Recently heard a story about a kid. The kid was 12 years old, and he had learned coding. I think he was doing MySQL, but he was doing some kind of coding. And his father had been a construction laborer, which is a good job anywhere, especially in that particular country, because you can make like $1,000 US a month doing a job like that. But this kid was dwarfing his father's income, and the entire family was freaked out and praising him.
Great story.
So the social good, that component is huge in Lake Charles.
Yeah, so it feels really good to be able to, as you mentioned, Jack, help others in undeveloped countries to help raise the overall world standard of living. But, you know, let's not forget about the people that live in our own towns. There's people that are struggling in the U.S. and in Canada as well that have lost their jobs, and in the U.S. that have to seek public assistance. So those people also have the opportunity to use our platform. I know a lady in New York lost her job of 15 years in the financial industry, had no idea what she was going to do, was extremely stressed out about the situation. This was before LinkedIn. I calmly explained to her how she could take her own destiny, not have to go to a 9-to-5 job, not have to worry about someone else for her own livelihood, but that she could take that into her own hands. So I showed her step by step how she could become a consultant, an independent contractor, whatever you want to call it, someone who's working for themselves and are offering their services to businesses or proprietary individuals of businesses. So it's huge. So third world countries, Venezuela, definitely, but also the ability to help people within our own, you know, within the regular world, UK, Canada, and North America as well.
And let me just say to our audience that's listening, do you see, this is the kind of inspiration we get from Constant every week on our team calls.
Mm-hmm.
Great stories and great. Jack, I just wanted to link us back to the bear market question. Obviously, that's one of the things that is looming on everyone's mind. So you chose to do this pivot to an SDO for purposeful reasons. What did you feel about this market and where we're going and how LinkChain specifically is addressing it?
Well, I think a couple of things. So one is regulation. So everyone's waiting for SEC to regulate this market, but that's going to take a while. But at the end of the day, we, you know, that the whether Bitcoin or Ethereum is up or down, it really doesn't really affect our business, because our business is really about connecting professional buyers and sellers of services. And whether, you know, Bitcoin is at 3,000 or 15,000, at the end of the day, we use blockchain as a technology to authenticate and add integrity to the transaction. That is going to be independent of where certain cryptocurrencies are. So that's the first thing. So we're not really concerned about that per se. The second thing is that being the security token offering, it's a regulated platform. So we're actually raising capital that provides for investor protections under our Reg D and Reg S filings. Everything is legit. We're not cutting any corners. And so we're able to appeal to a broader base of investors, both in North America, Canada, U.S., and also abroad. And this is something that is reflective of the link chain concept, which is international commerce. And that's completely consistent with what we do as a business. So I'm actually very comfortable. I'm excited about it because it's exactly what we should be doing. And it's exactly on the strategy that we wanted to execute as early as a few months ago.
We definitely feel that the STO market is the wave of the future. 2018, 2017 was ICO. We're going in the STOs. Now, what's happening is that there has been a shift. Initially, people were more than happy to invest in, it wasn't an, you didn't invest in a company. You gave money to a company,
right?
And they gave you tokens, but you had no stake, no equity, no say in that particular company that you purchased those tokens from. And so what people realized was that, wow, we've got nothing here. Now what's happening is that Investors have gotten smarter. Along with the regulatory requirements, investors are not just throwing their money at any and every opportunity or startup that rears its head. They want to know, what am I getting for the money that I am investing here?
Right.
With an STO, security token offering, we allow the investors to have a part, a say, and a stake in our company.
Well, I think the other important point is that all of us here on the team are investors in the company, and we were relentlessly focused literally from day one on building a product before we went to the market.
Exactly.
And so in 95%, of course, 95%, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in about 95% of the ICOs that we've worked with or dealt with, they had pretty much nothing. They had a hope and a dream. Right. Of course, a hope and a dream is not bankable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we were very focused on developing the product so that we can actually go out to the market. And what did we do? We did out and did usability testing. So we went out to our users, social media, and said, tell us what you think, because this product is going to be built and designed for you. So, you know, this goes back to the governance structure of our company, the culture, and really building a company around user needs. And you know, I'm curious to get your take, John, on, you know, Constant talked about the world of work is changing. That example in New York, independent contractors, the world of work is changing dramatically. The notion of working for a company for 10, 15 years and getting the golden watch and the pension, those days are over. It's too costly. So in terms of marketing and services, how have things changed there? And how can these platforms facilitate that?
Let me give you some stats. Like right now, 50% of U.S. millennial workers are independent contractors. That's just the millennial. One third of the entire workforce is. We're talking about 50%, 20 to 2022, half of all American workers will in some way be performing as independent contractors. The numbers are simply staggering. The reason this is happening is when we're offered more flexibility, when we're given more control over our own day-to-day life, a lot of us want that. Now, an older audience, it's ironic. It kind of skews from the 40s to the 50s, males a little bit more than females. But in general, from your 40s to your 50s, it looks like from the stats that we're getting, you want something a little more stable. But then after that, or before that, certainly before that, so we're talking about millennials, Gen Y and Gen Z, Gen Z, as the Americans say, it's phenomenal how much of a percentage of that population wants the control and the freedom and the flexibility of lifestyle that remote working / freelancing / being an independent contractor offers them.
Absolutely. But I think it's fair to say that when they go out and take this leap in the marketplace, because they don't have the security of getting that paycheck, it's a bit frightening for some folks. So
it's terribly frightening.
How do they manage that? How is that process managed?
Absolutely. Well said. Good question. Absolutely frightening. Ponster and I have had a lot of hours of conversation about this because we have both been freelancers. And certainly when I ran my ad agency, I was hiring freelancers on a continual basis. And then we were also serving as freelancers to bigger agencies. You know, the bigger fish eat the smaller fish. That's just the way it works in that industry. And I think the key is that there is a mindset that is shifting and it's taking on more risk because the landscape of who we hire and how we hire is changing.
Just to add more perspective to that, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, you were in a situation where, as Jack mentioned, you worked somewhere for 15 years, then you got the golden watch, and then you were out of there. And then started the massive layoffs. So this was a huge shock to the system where people that had worked somewhere for 15, 20 years had absolutely no idea or clue what they were going to do next. Now what's happened, though, with the new millennials coming up, they have already been indoctrinated into the system where they cannot rely on any one entity to fulfill their needs for any long and particular extended period of time. So now you have people that are on social media and making money on social media. They're on YouTube and have more followers than a lot of the major media outlet, get more views and more eyeballs and making six-figure incomes from producing their own content and Instagram. So you have a new generation, Jack, to answer your question, that is already indoctrinated to the new system of this gig economy.
I don't know about you guys, but I get really, I love it when Constant gets talking about this particular subject because he becomes so passionate and he has so much history to that. Like we've taught, Constant and I have had conversations about the industrial revolutions and how they've led to this new freelancer economy and how it is literally changing the world. I love that history and the history of the evolution of work. The reality is this is changing whether we want it to or not. When I was running my agency, it dawned on me one day when it became readily available that you could hire, for example, Indians or you could hire Russians or Chinese programmers. And when I found out that we were paying 10 times less than we were for our North American competitors, they can code just as well. This truly is a revolution in the workforce. And LinkChain is there at the precise moment when this revolution is occurring. And that is one of the things that I think is so exciting, both to our community and to our potential investors, that they love to be a part of this new surge.
Very well said.
I mean, it seems to me also, you know, given Constant's background, extensive background in supply chain logistics and management, that there's a bigger picture here to LinkChain. That yes, we're focused on independent contractors, but it seems to be there's a bigger supply chain analysis or picture here with AutoMatch and CircuMatch. So what is that bigger picture? How does that take shape?
Great question. I cannot tell. Well, Constant, you can speak to this better than I can even. You've done way more hiring on Upwork than I have. Can you talk a little bit about how CircuMatch just circumvents all this?
Absolutely. Let me provide more context. Jack mentioned usability testing, and this is to kind of take you through some of the major updates that we've had. Usability testing started because we released our MVP in November. So I want to, you know, make that in terms of a
good. Yeah,
we released our MVP in November, 2 months ahead of schedule. And as a result, we had over 100 users on our platform testing it and providing us with feedback on the platform. So once we completed the usability testing, we fed that information back to our developers, and they're going back and they are
responding,
updating our system as a result of that. So as we were onboarding the users, the usability testers onto our platform and hiring them, and we actually hired them from Upwork, it took us 4 hours between
right.
Nancy and myself
right.
to hire. We had to go through hire, 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 and then put the rate in, hire, 150
Crazy.
Times.
Crazy.
Now, imagine with, this is actually a feature within the system, that you can check one box and
right.
hire 100 people at one time instead of mm-hmm. having to go through and hire. Upwork does not have this, and Fiverr does not have this.
No one has it. That I know.
Exactly. So in terms of how we differentiate ourselves, we're not just an Upwork Me Too. We have technology with AutoMatch and CircuMatch, and we also have auto hiring where we can, with one click, save time, energy, and efficiency.
What I love about the way that we distinguish, although these features, AutoMatch and CircuMatch, share a lot of code, they don't share all their code. They're different results. One will automatically source and hire. That's AutoMatch. And then CircuMatch will present choices, but they're very limited, defined choices. And I think the critical thing we should mention here, Constant, is that these choices are, in both cases, are built on AI.
I'm an independent contractor in this example. How is this going to get me more business, and how does this distinguish ourselves from our competitors in terms of those features?
This is actually a very key feature for the buyer to be able to source multiple users at once, independent contractors at once, in terms of and identifying close matches. On the supplier side, the supplier is benefited by having multiple opportunities, multiple jobs that they can search.
you just very carefully used the IC denominator. So you were talking about independent contractors. I went to see a doctor 6 weeks ago. It was the first time I had ever gone into a clinic. Medical clinics here in Ontario, Canada are free. Met a doctor over a computer screen. I was diagnosed by a nurse, check your temperature and check your blood pressure, but everything else happened through a computer screen that was trained. We did video chat. It's just another example of the kinds of jobs. And I've certainly seen, Jack, you could speak to this, in the legal industry as well. And all of this, Constant, is in support of exactly what you're saying.
I used to work for an engineering firm, and 100% of our business was done by identifying independent contractors, would place them out on jobs. We would get a contract, for example, with Ford Motor Company to supply them with 100 weld engineers. So we'd go out and we'd find 100 weld engineers and we'd negotiate our rates with them. Negotiate the rates with Ford to say, okay, Ford's going to pay us $75 per hour for each one of these engineers. We'd negotiate a rate with them of $55 an hour, and we'd put them out on the job if they were out there for 4 months, 5 months. So we were able to do $80 million worth of business just by doing that.
I'm not surprised. When I was running my agency, we got a very large contract work, and those people were paid $135 an hour. And that's a huge number. Randstad was making over 40% profit on those people. One of the reasons that I look at something like LinkedIn and think, dear Lord, there's hope.
And to your point, John, your experience within the independent contractor segment with a company like Randstad, my experience with the engineering firm, to answer the question that John asked earlier, of how does this benefit suppliers, we have experience with helping individuals set up their own independent contractor business. So how do you get started? How do you price? How do you quote business? What jobs should you go after and which jobs should you stay away from? There's going to be, and this was Jack's brainchild, of having education on the platform.
Brilliant idea.
So we have videos. We have help sections on how to quote and how to set up. What happens most times is that people go on Upwork and other platforms. They submit a couple of proposals. It doesn't work and they quit.
Right. Exactly.
But there is a formula. There is a formula to developing, identifying new business and getting new contract. And that's something through the LinkChain system that we can help the independent contractor.
Constant, my question to you is, can you talk a little bit about your Upwork experience and how that has led you? It's a whole new mousetrap altogether.
Absolutely. First of all, I like competition. Competition is good. Upwork just went public, by the way. Upwork serves a useful purpose. I personally don't want Upwork to go away. I'm grateful for the talent that they have provided to me for my projects.
Right.
And I'm grateful for the business that they have provided to me. Having said that, there are some opportunities for improvement. And this is where you get the competition, new entrants into the market, is that there is a better way to do things more efficiently. And our concept is using blockchain technology with artificial intelligence at lower rates to achieve that goal.
We're coming from a blockchain, which is an industry-changing solution. Blockchain is a fundamental change in web technology that we have not seen for a very long time. One of the best examples that I have heard is that, well, it's like this. You had the internet, and then you had email added to the internet. You know, it's that kind of fundamental change that allows us to be so effective and efficient that we can charge only 5% and still be just as profitable, if not far more. You know, Upwork is not charging, I realized after working on this project for a great degree of time, Upwork doesn't want to hurt us. They're not purposely charging 20% and paying us in 20 days. They have to. It's the way that their system is built. We have this massive advantage, and it's like hitting the lights.
Upwork has about 40,000 employees worldwide.
How do you pay for that?
One of our strategies is keeping a lean organization. So there's ways that we've identified that we can charge 5% and still be profitable and not bloated?
Each and every one of us, everybody on the team at one point has been an independent contractor. And in my experience, for example, on LinkedIn, overall has been very favorable. But one of the key frustrations is two key frustrations. One is the matching, that I get a lot of interest from people who quite honestly, there's really no opportunity to do business with these people. So that's a source of frustration. But the other source of frustration is the marketing part. And I can't transact directly with these people, even if there was an opportunity. So I'm not a marketing expert. I want to focus on providing my own skills and services. And so there really are limited opportunities for the marketing aspect on LinkedIn to get that proper matching of the buyer and seller. I think this is where the artificial intelligence comes in, and it provides for scalability impact for the company, where you can scale very quickly in onboarding users, whether we go from 500 to 1,000 to 5,000. So maybe you can touch on that, because I think it's important for people to understand how that works.
Yeah, can I just, I'll let Constant answer that question. It was directed to him, but can I just quickly say that, Jack, of course, I agree with everything you just said. The one of the important things to remember about AutoMatch and CircaMatch is that, yes, the continuing increased efficiency of both of those IP, I'm calling them IPs because they're intellectual property and they're, you know, our trademarks, right? So both of those functions of our software, yes, become increasingly effective as time goes on because of the integration of AI. However, they also, both AutoMatch and CircaMatch, and if we connect the right suppliers with the right buyers at the right moment, we win. So it's important, I think, to recognize that both AutoMatch and CircaMatch are IP that work immediately and far more effectively than anything else that is on the market. Like nothing compares. Upwork has no solution that does anything like that. Fiverr has no solution that does anything like that.
Excellent points, John. You talked about the challenges of being an independent contractor, independent consultant, interactions, receiving solicitations for business that you have absolutely no interest. The other component of that is, even if you found someone that you wanted to do business with, how do you trust them?
Right.
Who is this guy?
Critical.
You know, even if you get the other hurdles, that one still exists. Now, enter LinkChain, in that we are developing a trust-based system through AI, through the accumulation of trust data through the smart contracts and storing those on the blockchain to where as though now we have a system that says, okay, this person has 100% feedback. This person is 99% likely to finish your job to your level of satisfaction. And that's the differentiator between how we're operating now and how we operate on LinkChain.
Right.
So there are a lot of folks out there, guys, that may not be familiar with blockchain technology. How does the blockchain technology specifically enhance the trust for them on our platform?
Initially, when someone signs up on the platform and they've done zero business, there won't be any populated data out there on our platform. However, we can take data from their existing social platform, such as Upwork. If they have a 100% success rate on Upwork, we can transfer that in and take that as is. We can also import their feedback from LinkedIn. Now, we know that there's some issues with the LinkedIn where people are giving recommendations that they don't even know. That's going to have less weight where if you have a 5-star feedback there, 100%, that's bona fide.
Right.
So we're going to allow that in right off the bat. The key initially, we're going to bring those in, but the real meat is once they get on our platform and perform
the
trust ratings that are going to be built there. Once they actually start completing jobs, those jobs are going to be stored and kept forever. So we've got 3 minutes.
Wow. I could talk for another hour. So just look forward to the next one.
Yeah, I would just close by, personally on my end, I can see that I'm an independent contractor. I've been an independent contractor. labor markets are changing around the world significantly. The world of work is changing dramatically. And we are right in the thick of that change, using technology, using blockchain technology to make life easier for people who want to conduct business on their own, outside of working full-time for a company, and having self-empowerment, their ability to drive their own wages, to drive their own personal recreational time, to free up time for their families, et cetera. This is a really, really massive shift taking place in the labor force. And I believe there's market growth, as we've demonstrated in our pitch deck, and right in the thick of it. But more importantly, taking advantage of existing technology platforms to make life easier for these independent contractors. And I'm really excited about where we're going with this, because I think this will really add a lot of value for these millions around the world doing what they're doing, which is independent contracting work.
Exactly. Sure. Very well said. Just some high points. We formed a partnership with GoChain back late last year to build on their platform. They are providing technical assistance to us. We successfully switched over to a security token offering, as Jack mentioned earlier. Those documents were officially filed at the beginning of January. We are currently in our private sale stage, where we're meeting with venture capitalists, angel investors, and that's going really well. So our next steps here, we're going to get our MVP updated, our platform updated, so that it's ready to scale. And on that note, I will turn it over to Jack.
There's one reason that we believe in, and that is GSD. Getting stuff done, executing. I'd like to thank two of you for coming on the podcast. Constance Taylor, CEO, founder, and also John Doyle, Chief Marketing Officer and co-founder, and myself, Jack Ben Simon. We will continue to do more podcasts, and wishing everybody a great day. And we look forward to updating our community very soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for your time.